This episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Get exclusive rewards and more by visiting outsidehealthandfitness.com/support. Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 156. Hit it with Gerald Smith.
It's about you. And as you say, it's your starting point. You know where you're starting from. And then you've got to then set that goal as to where you want to go. This is where I am today. In 3 months, this is a realistic target. And then you just work for it and you be consistent, just like you said.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from Outside Health and Fitness, and thank you for joining me for another episode. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, frolf, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, we love it. So if you're like us and you like to have fun outside, then you found the right place. Hey, if you're like me, you don't have a lot of time to work out. I mean, between kids, school, work, and everything else that goes on, let's face it, your life is busy. But what if you could get the same health and fitness benefits you could get working out for an hour in just a fraction of the time? Well, my guest today says you can. It's a fitness idea called high-intensity interval training, and it's perfect for anyone from beginners to elite athletes. On today's show, you'll discover why HIIT training is so effective, answers to your questions about HIIT, and information and resources to guide you to the level of fitness you've always wanted to achieve.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
Now, before we get into HIIT, I wanted to let you know what's coming up this week on my new show, Funky Fitness Now. This week, we're talking about some weird weight loss ripoffs you want to avoid. You know, stuff like soap that promises to melt the pounds away and a tongue surgery that makes eating painful. Yuck. It's amazing what some people will do to take the pounds off. Here's a clip.
Welcome to Funky Fitness Now.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Jessica, and we host Funky Fitness Now. God, I think about my wrists all the time.
If there was one place I could spot reduce, it would be the wrists.
Join us each week at funkyfitnessnow.com.
On iTunes, Stitcher, and other top podcast networks.
Stay fit and funky.
So my guest today is Gerald Smith. Gerald is a personal trainer from London, England. He's a former amateur boxer, writer, and speaker who specializes in high-intensity interval training. Gerald's background in boxing led him to develop a system called HEAT, High Energy Efficient Training, a workout so intense it's the equivalent of going 10 rounds in the boxing ring. Now be sure to stay tuned because at the end of this episode, Gerald has been kind enough to offer a free guide called The Fit Executive, where he shares HIIT exercises, diet tips, and fat-burning recipes. I'll tell you how to get your free copy at the end of the show. So let's get right into my interview with Gerald. Okay, Gerald, I'm really excited to talk with you tonight, and I know that it's very late where you are, so we'll get right into things. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm actually pretty good. yeah, very good.
We're connecting all the way across the pond, right? You're over in the UK.
Yep, over here in London. You know, it's cold this time of year. No snow, but it's good. Things are good.
Are you having kind of an unusually warm winter also? That's what we're having.
Yeah. I mean, it's been so warm, I haven't even actually put the heat on, really, or maybe on the odd day here and there.
I was watching a couple of your videos, and I saw that you were, like, you know, working out right out, it looks like, right on the Thames River there and near the Tower of London and everything.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
That's sort of where I'm based, City of London, as you say, Central London. Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's fantastic. So what is your, what's your background? You're a personal trainer?
That's right. As you said, I'm a personal trainer. I guess I always knew I wanted to be a personal trainer from when I was really, really young. And, you know, growing up, I did various different sports. One of the sports I did was boxing. Mm. And I guess that was really what got me into interval training, because obviously you've got the 3 minute rounds with a minute rest.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went, studied a degree, started personal training people. I really wanted to share, you know, the fun I had as a boxer with my clients without them having to take a punch. And, yeah. You know, over time, I sort of developed my own system of training, and it was based on on high intensity interval training. And yeah, it works really well. I mean, I've done it myself over many years as a boxer and as just someone who now is a personal trainer, trains in their own time. You know, degree educated as well. So yeah, you know, and that brings us here really.
So how does HIIT work? How does high intensity interval training actually work for someone that's out there that maybe hasn't really tried this yet?
Yeah, no, good question. I mean, I start off with just some of the research really. I think that the easiest way to really put high intensity interval training to say it's efficient. So there's a study out there where they took these two different groups. So one group did 90 minutes to 120 minutes of exercise, and the other group did interval training. So in total, it was 20 minutes of training for the interval group and 90 minutes to an hour to 2 hours for this other group. And at the end of the two-week period, the results were very similar. They were almost identical. Hmm. The difference being is that one group did 90% less volume.
Right.
So the way in which interval training works is that basically when you're working at higher intensity, you burn more calorie because you're working without oxygen. Your body produces something called lactic acid. Mm-hmm. And when you're producing lactic acid, your body burns more calories. And as a result, the only limiting factor is how long you can sustain the exercise for.
Right.
When you're working for quantity at lower intensity, obviously you can sustain that for a long period of time, and you get that calorie burn by going over a period of time. So you can't obviously do an hour and a half of interval training, but you can do it for 2 hours or 3 hours and actually get the same burn you would. So what you're really looking for is that trade-off between, do I go for that higher quality and train for less and work really hard, or do I go at a lower intensity, go for a longer period of time and burn calories over a longer period of time? That's kind of the trade-off you're looking at with high-intensity interval training, really, mm-hmm. to put it simply.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's always confused me about that is that I see a lot of, you know, like I see a lot of Tabata routines that are very short, and then I see these other high-intensity interval trainings that last for an hour. And yes. And I kind of go, how can you maintain that high level of intensity that for that period of time?
That's a great question. And again, intensity is how much intensity we're going for, because with interval training, intensity can be played with. So if we're going to measure intensity, we're going to be looking at percentage of your maximum heart rate. Mm-hmm. So you could do an interval which is 80% of your maximum heart rate, which would mean that you could sustain that period of exercise for a longer period of time. So you could actually do a 5-minute interval if you're going at 70-80%. And that's still high intensity. It's still a lot more higher than what you would be going at if you was going for, as I said, quantity type work, where you're going at a much lower percentage of your maximum heart rate, maybe 50-40% or whatever, compared to when you're going flat out. So you may do a workout where you're actually using sprints. So you may do an 80-meter sprint as hard as you can, flat out. And after 10 seconds, again, you know, you're out of breath, 30, 40 second of recovery, you go again, flat out. You're only going to be able to sustain that for maybe 5 minutes. So it's that level of intensity. If you're going for real, real, real high quality, then it's going to be shorter. Where if you take that intensity level down, you can make it last a lot more longer. So you play around with a lot of things, and it depends on your fitness level and exactly what it is you're training for.
And what about the rest period? Is there a particular rule in terms of should the rest period be equal to the period that you're outputting the high intensity, or is it longer or shorter? How does that work?
Yeah, there's no easy answer to that. but what I will say, I will try and make it really easy. Well, what I will say is that let's say, for instance, you're a beginner. You're going to need a lot more recovery than you would if you're someone who's really, really highly trained. So you may take a longer period of recovery, and that's fine, because it's better to start slowly than it is to kind of go all in and that's it, you're put off and you don't want to ever exercise again.
That's right, too painful. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, but if I'm going to actually give some kind of a guideline, I mean, I would always say if you really want to, let's assume you work at 90% and above, if you want to make your training session as hard as you can, you want to go for a 1-to-2 rest ratio. So let's say, for instance, you're going to do a 200-meter sprint, which takes, you know, someone like Usain Bolt will do it in 19 seconds. For guys like us, anywhere between 25 to 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. So you're going to do 200 meters flat out, takes you 30 seconds. A 1-to-2 rest period would be good. If you want to make it really hard, you go for 1-to-1 work-to-rest ratio, So 30-second run, 30-second recovery, and you go as many times as you can. You know, you may not do very many. If you're really, really highly trained, you may do 20, 22, less so. You know, by about 10 or 12, you're going to be really feeling that. So one-to-one, I'd say one-to-one is when you're really looking to go flat out. One to two, I'd say if you're designing something for about 30 seconds to a minute flat out, I'd go for one to two.
Okay. You know, we've kind of talked about sprinting and some of those things. What other types of exercises do you incorporate into your HIIT routine?
For our audience, if you like outdoor fitness, it can be used in cycling.
Yeah.
So you could get up on your bike and, you know, you can stand on your bike and you can sprint as hard as you can, you know, 5 seconds, 10, 20, 30 seconds. And again, follow those kind of recovery periods, which I discussed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done on bikes. Obviously, running, we've just discussed running. You can also use what's known as compound exercises. By compound exercises, I mean exercises which are going to use lots of muscle groups.
Mm-hmm.
So the more muscles you use, the more calories you're going to burn. So one example of that would be you may do 20 seconds worth of burpees, have a 20-second recovery, and you can just repeat that. Just keep going with that. So that would be another example. If you just wanted to have a workout in the park, you can incorporate exercises like bodyweight exercises like press ups, sit ups, anything that's ballistic and anything that's going to be really going to get your heart rate up.
Excellent.
So big compound exercise. Obviously, you can use weights as well to do that as well, like kettlebell training, kettlebell swings.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a wide range of exercises. But the key thing is to make sure you choose an exercise which is going to use a large amount of muscles, and you're going to get the most from it.
What other sorts of benefits? I mean, we talked about, you know, burning some calories, getting your heart rate up. What else should you experience, you know, benefit-wise from doing HIIT exercises?
Some of the other benefits you're going to get will be actually improved endurance performance. So you'll actually find that you're going to be able to sustain a particular intensity for a longer period of time. So let's take, for instance, if you're going to work at a given intensity, and after 15 minutes, you found that you fatigued, you couldn't go any longer at that particular intensity. Then you did interval training for a period of weeks. You worked at that same intensity, and you may find that instead of fatiguing at 15 minutes, you can go for 20, 25, 30 minutes at that same intensity with a much lower heart rate. So there's increased endurance benefits from doing it, from doing this type of training.
Excellent.
And yeah, that's one of the main ones. And obviously, you're going to see improved cardiac output. You're going to see your heart rate lower. You're going to find that you're going to have much more better tolerance to lactic acid as well.
Yep.
For someone who is a long distance runner or cyclist, obviously, it's lactic acid that's going to be the enemy in terms of how hard you can push yourself in that race if you're competing. So you're going to find that you're going to be able to sustain a much higher level of intensity from doing this type of training.
Yeah, I've actually noticed that before. I do some sprints, you know, when I run, and I've noticed that I'm just running faster overall now as a result of doing that, you know?
Precisely.
Yeah. I actually asked some of the listeners for some questions. Would you mind taking some of those?
Yeah, definitely. They were really good questions.
So our friends from Freak Health sent in this question for Gerald. Should exercise intensity decrease when someone fatigues, or should they continue to push through with max effort, although a little slower?
So that's a fantastic question. So there's obviously, as time goes on, you're going to be getting more fatigued, and there's a limit to how much you should continue. Anything more than a 10% decrease in your performance level, then you should probably consider stopping. So let's take, for instance, you decided to do an interval session where you're going to do a 400 meter run around the track. Okay. And every single time you do that 400 meter run, I'm going to pick a number at random. Let's say it takes you 50 seconds. And then by the time you get to the 10th rep, it's now taking you 105, 107. At that point, you should really consider stopping, because now fatigue is too much. You're not going to get any gains from running yourself into the ground.
Right.
And that might take 13, 14 repetitions. So anything more than 10%, then you should consider stopping. But nothing is absolute. There was a protocol that was used by a French physiologist, where what she did with her athletes was she did a 30-second protocol where they ran for 30 seconds, rested for 30 seconds, and the only time that they stopped was when they could no longer physically run.
Wow.
Because lactic acid had built up so much in their legs they couldn't even walk. And that's obviously going extreme. That's obviously if you're training for the Olympics or you're training for some kind of serious competition. I wouldn't advise going that hard, but I'm just saying there's no absolute rule, but I would say 10%. If you're just training for fun, anything more than 10% decrease in performance, then look to start calling it a day.
Yeah, it might be diminishing returns after a while, right? If you push through, you don't have that chance to rest for the next high intensity interval, so that's not going to be as intense as it could have been.
Precise, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I've got another one here from Pete from Google. He asked, how does high intensity interval training affect your heart's slow and fast twitch muscle fibers?
Yeah, I looked at that one earlier, and again, that was a great question.
This is an in-depth question.
Yeah, exactly. And before I delve into that, I'm not sure if all your viewers have good knowledge on exercise physiology. So just to explain what slow and fast twitch fibers are, generally speaking, we're going to be more inclined to go in towards either sprint type performance or endurance type performance. And that's based on your muscle's physiology. So someone who has white or fast twitch muscle fibers, they're going to hate doing endurance type exercise.
Yeah.
But we all have these two muscle fibers within our body. Now, if you're doing high intensity interval training, both sets of muscle fibers are going to see improvements. Now, obviously, if you have fast twitch muscle fibers and you're more inclined to do sprint type work, mm-hmm. you're not going to get the same benefits as quickly as someone who has got a larger amount of slower twitch muscle fibers. However, you are going to see an adaptation. So they are going to become more efficient at using oxygen and working at a slower intensity, just not as well as the other muscle fibers.
Mm-hmm.
So you will see an improvement in your fast twitch muscle fibers, yes, as well as the same in your slow twitch. But someone who's got a high percentage of slow twitch muscle fibers is going to see a greater improvement with the same period of time compared to someone who is more sprint orientated, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so right. So if you have a tendency for more slow twitch muscle fibers, you're saying that the high intensity training will actually improve that situation.
It will definitely improve that. But at the same time, obviously, if you have white twitch muscle fibers, you are going to see improvements. But the important thing to remember is that those muscle fibers aren't built to obviously do that type of training.
Right.
However, they will adapt, but you're just not going to see as big an adaptation or as quickly as you would if you had the other type of muscle fibers. But all muscle fibers will actually adapt to whatever type of training. And the same will apply to someone who's got better endurance, who's got more of an affinity to endurance type training. If you then start training for sprint performance, yes, they're going to start to improve at that and get faster, but they're never going to be great at sprint type performance.
He had another question. He had a whole bunch of things here, but he had another question towards the end that I highlighted. He asked, does it help any of the chambers of the heart more or less than any of the others?
No, it won't really. I mean, the benefits you're going to see is that you're going to have a much larger cardiac output. And what that basically means in layman's terms is that per contraction, you're going to push out more blood, more oxygenated blood, and carry more oxygen to your muscles through this type of training.
Got it. We had another one about CrossFit, and you know, I want to make sure that we talk about, because you've got a fantastic YouTube channel. I subscribed just the other day to it. You've got all kinds of great stuff on there. But we had someone, Lawson, wanted to know what your opinion was of CrossFit.
Okay, yeah. Again, another good question. And this is something that divides opinion within the fitness community. You've got people that are for, people that are against. And yeah. I'm on these guys that are against CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking anyone that wants to use it. If someone says, right, I want to do strength training, this is the time I've got, I want to go to a class, it's 7 o'clock, and it's CrossFit, I'm going to do that once a week to improve my whatever it is they're trying to improve, I would say, great, do that. You do that. However, I first heard of CrossFit back in 2010. And when I first looked into it, I looked at some of the videos and I saw people doing exercises with such poor form. And it wasn't just the fact that they were doing it in poor form. It was the fact that I saw instructors then actually encouraging them to carry on doing it with poor form. They looked like they were going to break their back. And I'm seeing guys egging them on, keep going, keep going, keep going. Ugh. It really put me off CrossFit. And I just kind of, and for me, if I, as you said, I've got a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
The last thing I'm going to do is showcase someone almost doing something really, really badly. Obviously, it's your fatigue. Form is going to decrease. That's expected.
Right.
But obviously, if you're training, one, you're training properly, you learn to minimize these, loss of form over time, you know, with discipline, with hard training, and hopefully a training partner, someone to look at what you're doing.
Right.
And I looked at CrossFit, and I didn't see that. It really put me off looking into it anymore in any greater detail. What I will say is I'm not an expert on CrossFit. I don't know everything there is to know about CrossFit. What I do know, I know that there's a lot of repetitions which you do, and generally speaking, if you're doing strength training, I wouldn't recommend that volume of repetitions, particularly for clean and jerks and snatches and so on. But the bottom line is a lot of people are doing it, and they're doing something right because they've got a lot of followers, and there's a lot of people out there that are passionate about CrossFit, including personal trainers as well. So I just say each their own. I'm one of these guys where, as I say, I'm not sitting on the fence. I'm saying I don't like it. But I would never tell anyone not to do it. But I would always say, I'd always caution someone that, you know, there's a lot of people that have been injured from doing this type of training. And I guess that can go for any type of training as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, it's good. Like you said, you've got a solid opinion about it. And I agree. I mean, in whatever sort of fitness activity you're going for, you really want to be paying attention to that form, because no one is doing it to injure themselves, right? That's not the point.
Precisely. But you know what? I'm just going on a bunch of videos. There may be CrossFit gyms across the country where they're really, really hammering home how important it is to have good form. I just haven't seen them. That's what I'm saying. I just haven't seen those.
Got it.
So I've got to be careful what I say on radio and so on. Based on what I've seen, it's a no for me. That's what I'm saying. So.
Okay, no, that's good. So I got another question here from Matt. Matt asked, and this is an excellent question. He said, how do you start out with a HIIT program if you're either out of shape or you're short on time? Or both, I guess.
another great question as well. And I kind of alluded to this earlier when I said it's better not to do too much too soon, because, you can hurt yourself. So someone that's out of shape, they wouldn't even need to go to max intensity, because remember, you scale intensity and then you work with your rest according to the intensity. So someone who hadn't done it before or hadn't exercised for a long time, they may only go at 70%, because anything is going to give that person some type of change. So they may only need to do a run which is slightly faster than jogging pace, Well, actually, not slightly faster, fairly fast in jogging pace. Let's say 3/4 of your sprint speed.
Yeah.
You may only do 40, 50 meters of that. And then your recovery period may be, we're looking at 1 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for instance, they do a 40-meter sprint and it takes them 15 seconds to complete that. Then, you give that person may have a minute's rest.
Yeah.
So that's a low intensity. It's not super high intensity, because they're probably going about 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a long enough rest recovery, and then they just go for how long they feel they can manage. Again, you wouldn't push yourself. Once you feel that you've got a little bit of a burn going on, you can probably be finished within about 10 minutes. And if you're short on time, it's probably if you're out of shape and short on time, it's probably the best thing you can do to really maximize your time and maximize your results. But the key thing is to make sure you leave enough time for stretching, because if you're out of shape, you're going to feel the burn. From that first session. So it's really important that you leave at least 5 to 10 minutes to stretch out, just to try and minimize and flush out some of the lactic acid, which is just going to be floating around the body.
Excellent. Yeah. And right, like you said, it's going to be, and really the key is going to be consistency, right? You start wherever you start and then just keep at it. And before you know it, you're going to be able to, rather than a 1 to 4, you'll be able to do a 1 to 2 or 1 to 1 over time. You're just going to go slow with the whole thing.
Precisely. I think as well, you hit the nail on the head, because a lot of clients come to me and on their first session, they say to me, oh my God, I'm out of shape. How am I in comparison to all your other clients? And it's not about that. It's not about anyone else. It's about you. And as you say, it's your starting point. You know where you're starting from. And then you've got to then set that goal as to where you want to go. So this is where I am today. In 3 months, this is a realistic target. And then you just work for it and you be consistent, just like you said.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Now, I wanted to, thanks for answering those questions, by the way. And those were great questions. I appreciate everybody sending those in. Let's talk about your YouTube channel, because that was very cool. What can we expect to see over there?
I'm going to be putting exercises on there, with this new piece of equipment that's just come over here in the UK. It's called a Core Momentum Trainer. So that's one thing I do. I show loads of different ways to train the core using this device, this fitness tool.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to be putting some talks on there as well on how to transform the body, giving nutritional tips as well on how to get ripped, what types of things to eat, what types of things not to eat.
Yeah.
Also as well, some workout tips as well, how to sort of put together your own little, your own type of interval training session.
Nice.
Some other types of exercises which you can do outdoors and indoors as well. So my channel is all about, if you like, outdoor, indoor exercises and yep. nutritional tips. So I'm going to be producing a lot more of for 2016.
That's fantastic. That's great. And I'll make sure we have a link in the show notes to your YouTube channel so folks can go over there. Where else can we find you and get in touch with you or see what you're doing, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've got my website. It's Personal Trainer City of London.
Okay.
.co.uk. And I have a free download where I share tips on how to get fit. So it includes exercise. It includes some recipes for fat burning. It includes some of my top tips on what to do, because everyone knows what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing it.
That's right.
That's the real problem.
Yeah.
No one needs to be told not to eat a donut. But, but you know, I try to obviously give some kind of methodology behind it, how you actually approach this, how you're actually going to approach this, how you're going to sustain this over a period of time. So
yeah.
I try to give some of my top tips of how to look at this as a lifestyle change thing rather than a short term 4 week. Let me lose some weight.
Yeah.
So I share all that in my free report, and go on my website. You can read some of my blog articles on weight loss and exercise as well.
Great. Well, that's awesome, Gerald. I really appreciate you coming on the show, and you clearly know your stuff about high intensity interval training, and I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to thank Gerald again for coming on the show and sharing his expertise with you and I today. I hope you got some valuable tips that you can use to incorporate some HIIT workouts into your fitness routine. As you know, Outside Health and Fitness is free and supported by our listeners. If you find value in the information that we share and you'd like to help out, I would deeply appreciate it. Even a few dollars a month goes a long way. In fact, I've set up some really cool rewards for fans of the show, like advanced episodes, behind-the-scenes videos, and bonus content. Levels start as low as $1 a month, so check them out at outsidehealthandfitness.com/support, and thank you so much for helping. You can also find a link to your Patreon support page in the show notes for this episode at outsidehealthandfitness.com/156. You'll also find a link to that free guide Gerald has made available called The Fit Executive. So be sure to visit outsidehealthandfitness.com/156. I'm Steve Stearns. Thank you again for listening. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. I hope you got something of value from the show today that helps you get outside and in shape. For more on taking your health and fitness outside, visit outsidehealthandfitness.com and subscribe to the show. Until next time, I'll see you outside.